Writer-director David Mamet has a new movie called Spartan opening today. It stars Val Kilmer. But lower in the credits, it was a co-star's name, William H. Macy, that set Bob Mondello to musing about acting styles and acting companies.
William H. Macy plays a Secret Service agent in Spartan, a guy who, like most David Mamet characters, speaks in fits and starts, clipped phrases that are to dialogue what headlines are to news stories. In just 19 seconds on the phone, he can brush in a whole rapid-strike, super-secret rescue mission and let you know that it's no longer super-secret.
No, keep the line open. They'll have satellite photos of the Mascala House and the Royal Hotel Dubai on the ground. You'll restage, wheels up for Dubai, 2 hours after touchdown.
How many teams?
What? Three. Three teams for Dubai. Press has the report. She missed her first class.
Macy sounds natural barking Mamet speak because he's a past master at it. He and writer-director David Mamet go way back to at least 1987 and House of Games, 9 films in all, and if you look at the pictures they've done together, you'll notice some other names that keep cropping up. Ricky Jay, a bear of a man, was also cast in Mamet's Homicide, and State and Main, and Heist, and Spanish Prisoner. Mrs. David Mamet, Rebecca Pigeon, worked in most of those, and also in her husband's costume drama, The Winslow Boy. In fact, the director has a whole repertory acting company that moves with him from movie to movie. This is not common in Hollywood, though there are certainly precedents for it. New York director Orson Welles brought all of his Mercury Theater actors with him when he made Citizen Kane and kept them in Hollywood for The Magnificent Ambersons. Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton had stock companies, a trick they learned from silent film director Mack Sennett. And, of course, all these guys started out on stage, where repertory companies used to be the rule. In Shakespeare's day, an actor had to be able to play a court jester one night and Hamlet the next. And get the words right every time.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue.
But if you mouth it, as many of your players do, I had as lief the town crier had spoke my lines.
It's kind of intriguing to find repertory companies in the movies, because the rationales that justify them on stage don't really apply. In live theater, it's just plain practical to work together regularly. You maximize rehearsal time, develop performance rhythms, and perfect ways of playing off each other. That rationale only works in movies when they're being made on a shoestring. Woody Allen in his first few comedies, for instance, or Spike Lee in his, or Christopher Guest and his Spinal Tap groupies, who keep coming together to prove that maniacs are the same the world over, be they community theater nuts in Waiting for Guffman.
He can actually sing.
He's good.
Dog breeders in Best in Show.
3,000 dogs competing for Best in Show.
To think that in some countries these dogs are eaten.
Or folk musicians in The Mighty Wind.
Hold on. 1 second, please. Technical. I got an idea, a very literate reference. I don't know if you're familiar with a book about a pirate captain. His name is Moby Dick. He was chasing some big whale, and he had a catchphrase. He'd always yell out, "There she blows!" So I thought if you could do that, we'd have someone on stage drench the whole group with water.
Part of the fun of watching Christopher Guest's informal repertory company is that they have so clearly improvised these mockumentaries together. They've created an off-screen commune of sorts for the purpose of creating on-screen communities of sorts. Not quite the same rationale as when Ingmar Bergman used Liv Ullmann and Max von Sydow over and over. The acting pool may just be smaller in Sweden. Still, it puts these comedians in classy company, with the likes of Fellini and Britain's Mike Lee and Spain's Pedro Almodovar. At least for now, success has a nasty habit of breaking up marriages, and marriages of convenience are no exception. Filmmakers move to bigger budgets and enlarge their circles to the point that you can't really tell their circles anymore. It happened with Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola and Spike and Woody, and now it seems to be happening with David Mamet, who's found other people, Val Kilmer, for instance, who can stammer with what the New York Times calls Mametude just as persuasively as the Mamet regulars. Maybe not on the first take, but on the 10th, and in the movies, that's good enough. I'm Bob Mondello.